You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Laps Factor Podcast. What is up, College Across fans? You're watching episode number, I believe it's 258 of the Lax Factor Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Hoost. Today, we're going to get into this weekend's games through the lens of how it's going to all play out for conference tournaments. We actually have the Big Ten tournament already upon us, so we'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to go through the ACC scenarios and talk about Syracuse and Duke, Notre Dame at Virginia this weekend, and how the game next weekend, I think it's the final game of the regular season against Notre Dame and North Carolina. I think that's the final game of the entire season being played midweek next week, maybe even next weekend. But we'll talk about all the conference tournaments. I'll probably forget to talk about the MAC. I'll try not to. I'm going to probably butcher the ASUN, but for the most part, I should do a good job with the rest of them. Caveat, I'm going to make mistakes because I don't do this for a living. I'm just dope and bring this to y'all as a hobby. So before I get into it, as always, be sure to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. And then if you're watching or listening to the podcast anywhere else, just be sure to share with everybody else. And then also hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter. Mostly on Twitter is where I roam these days. So hit me up on Twitter. Chirp me if you have questions or just want to call me out for a shitty take that I have. All of that. All's fair in love and war. So let me shut up here. We're going to start by talking about the ACC. So Duke, Virginia, and Notre Dame, they're all already in. The question becomes, could long shots North Carolina or Syracuse also get in by winning this weekend? Well, North Carolina by winning next weekend. And for some reason, I've been sitting here for like the last 3 weeks talking about how Syracuse has to beat Notre Dame the final game of the season. I knew in my head they were playing Duke, but I kept saying Notre Dame over and over and over again. And it was a weird dynamic. So yeah, Syracuse takes on Duke. Carolina will take on Notre Dame. So each would get a huge win if they were able to pick up the win, and that would greatly increase each team's RPI to the point that they would be either one of the last teams out or the last team, one of the first teams out, one of the last teams in, if that's how it goes. I'm not sure. But anyway, we talk about Syracuse and Duke first. If Syracuse can pick this win up, this could bump their RPI up as high as 15 or so. And because they don't have any bad losses, that would give them a bit of hope at maybe being the last team in to grab an at-large bid. If we look at their chances of winning, though, they already played Duke to a one-goal game earlier in the season. It comes down to former teammates in terms of club ball, Brennan O'Neill and Joey Spallina doing battle. We've got McAdory, who also played club ball with them. We've got Canadians Owen Hiltz and Dyson Williams. I think Dyson Williams is a Canadian. If he's not, he should be. He has that style. So in terms of offensive firepower, Duke for sure has the edge, but if Syracuse could do a decent job at the faceoff dot and not turn the ball over, not play like last weekend, Syracuse finally did a good job at the faceoff dot against Virginia. And offensively, they turned the ball over too often, especially in the beginning of the game. They shot themselves in the foot other ways. So if they could win at the faceoff dot a little bit, you know, even go 40-60, lose 40% instead of like, you know, 70%, I think that gives them a little bit of hope because offensively they're insanely efficient and they do well with the possessions they get. Duke, not the greatest defensive team in the country, but they will still beat you up and they can still force you into turnovers. So that's going to be key for Syracuse. Definite edge to Duke's offense overall because one, they're probably going to have more possessions in Syracuse, and two, they've got freaking Brennan O'Neill, Andrew McAdory, and Dyson Williams running attack, and that's just one of the best attack lines in the country at this point. In terms of the goalie situation, definite edge to Syracuse. Will Mark has been much better in cage than William Helm so far this season. Mark coming off, I think, one of his rougher games here this season against Virginia. Yeah, his last three of his last four, he's actually been below 50%, and he was only 38% against Notre Dame. And if you look at what he did leading into that, he had only been below 50% in one game prior to these final four games, and now he's been below 50% in three of the last four. So had a really good outing in that win against Princeton, had a decent outing in the win over Carolina. and then was a little bit roughed up against Virginia. That wasn't his. I don't think any of these numbers are his bad. I think it mostly comes down to the defense. I think this kid's been incredible, All-American. When I get down to voting, he will for sure either get my vote for the media All-Americans. He'll either get the one or the two numbered All-American vote from me. So in terms of goalkeepers, Willmark, definite edge there. In terms of overall defense, I think you got to go with Duke's experience. Syracuse's defense has managed to play decent considering the losses. They're missing their number one and two guy. Their number two guy actually just came back, Clary, last week, but he hadn't played for a handful of games or whatnot. So I think edge to Duke defensively, but I think Willmark overall as a defense unit, I think Willmark ends up evening that out. So I think the defensive side of this is a wash to a degree. Faceoff dot 100,000,000% edge to Jake Naso. He's sitting here at 63%. Syracuse didn't have an answer for him the first time they played. Let's see what he did. Yeah, he beat him at 70% in their last meeting. He'll probably do that again. But like I said, Jack Fine and Richie USA here, Ricusa, they've played a little bit better, especially Fine's been better overall since he's been taking a bunch of draws for Syracuse. So it's going to be hugely important there. In the end, my prediction is Duke is probably going to beat Syracuse. They could even beat them by a margin. Like I keep saying, both of these teams have talent, but one of these teams has a lot of experience. The other team has very little experience through their entire roster outside of Willmark in cage. And, you know, you got some guys on the offensive end for Syracuse, the transfers in Kirst and Simmons or whatnot, but that's about it. Everybody else contributing at a high level for Syracuse is either young or a freshman. So I think Duke's probably going to win this game. I'm not going to go with my heart and predict Syracuse is going to win, even though, you know, I'll be freaking out like an animal if they do here. So that's that. And then, like I said, playoff implications. If Syracuse can pick up the win, boom, they may have a shot at being the last team in. I don't think they'll get the 7. I think they would be the 8. I think they'd get the 8th at large if they were to win this. And even then, it will require some other teams probably lose. There's a lot of scenarios, a lot of things that will have to happen if Syracuse wins this game to get them in still. So it's definitely not for sure. In the next game I want to talk about here, we've got Notre Dame at Virginia. It's a huge game this weekend that I think isn't getting as much attention as it normally would, simply because it's just a pissing match to see who's going to get the 1, 2, or 3 seed overall. For Notre Dame, I think they win this game. They are the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, so long as they don't lose to North Carolina next weekend. So I think that would probably be how that played out. And then if Virginia wins, I think Virginia, they have a shot at number one, depending on what happens with Duke. You know, let's say Duke loses to Syracuse, Virginia wins this game, and, you know, maybe Virginia then could kind of lobby and maybe try to get that number one seed. But I think for Virginia, they're between a 1 and 3, depending on if they pick this game up. I think they're between 2 and 3 with a long shot of getting 1. I think Virginia doesn't fall any lower, even with the loss here. I don't think they fall lower than maybe 4th overall. And if I look at where Terry Foy off screen has them, Terry Foy has them at 3rd right now. If they pick up this win against Notre Dame, that would give them 3 wins against top 5 teams, depending on how the RPI shakes out in the last week. So my prediction, though, on this one, I predict Notre Dame is going to pick up the win here. Notre Dame already lost to Virginia at home. I think Notre Dame's going to return the favor here, beat Virginia on the road, and improve to 10-1 going into that game against North Carolina. That's my prediction. All right, let's see here. We got Carolina, and then the following weekend. This game isn't even this weekend, but I wanted to talk about it because it's important. Just because if North Carolina wins this game, it could be enough to get them into the tournament as a long shot. Right now, Terry Foy has them sitting at 14th. In terms of all of the, you know, the top teams in terms of seeding. Obviously, a bunch of teams are going to win automatic qualifiers out of there, so that ends up putting them maybe at, like, let's say 8th or 9th in terms of the at-large bid once the automatic qualifiers are eaten up. So for Carolina, win this game, your RPI right now is 14th. You win this game, your RPI is probably jumping to 12th, 10th, could even be 9th. They already have a top 5 win against Hopkins, so that would give them 2 top 5 wins if they win this game. Their problem is they have losses to Syracuse and Ohio State, so they have bad losses. So honestly, if it comes down to, let's say, Syracuse and Carolina both win their final games here, I think that would probably frog jump Syracuse over Carolina because Syracuse has more wins. They have a bunch of wins, actually, between 11 and 20, where Carolina has none and Syracuse has no losses from teams that are below them in and outside the top 20 in terms of RPI. But both for both of them, to be sure, it's a long shot. I know I'm a Cuse homer and I get accused of that a lot, but in fairness, it's a long shot for both of them. If both of them win, there's not both of them will certainly not get into the NCAA tournament, but it's a long shot for either one. No, I'm just rambling again. All right, so we're going to move on here then to the Big Ten. The Big Ten tournament is actually upon us. No seeding anymore here. So we have one of the games, Ohio State at Michigan. I think that's the first game that'll be played Saturday, later in the evening on Saturday, and then Rutgers and Maryland is the nightcap. So this game was just played. Michigan already beat Maryland, already beat Ohio State 19-14 last weekend. I think this game could go either way despite how it played out last weekend. Again, this one's being played at Michigan, so Ohio State has to go on the road to play their rival twice. So this one big time rivalry I think this time here, because now we're in the tournament and they're having to face each other. Every game in your conference tournament is a huge rivalry game. In terms of how do I think this is going to play out, and then to speak on the winner ends up having to take on Penn State, and Penn State has already beat both of these teams, so that's interesting as well. And that'll be the same case for Rutgers Maryland. The winner of Rutgers Maryland will take on Hopkins, and Hopkins already beat both of those teams. So in terms of offense, definite edge here, especially the way they're playing goes to Michigan. Jack Myers and company have just not got it done offensively. Have been a big disappointment, honestly, offensively for Ohio State. I think Myers is still going to get drafted, and I think he'll still be a PLL pro. But he definitely, I was expecting him to put up in the area of 80 to 90 points this year, and right now in their tournament, he's only sitting at 39 points overall. So huge edge to Michigan offensively, and they proved that last weekend as well. Shane Carr, Hunter Taylor, I don't even know at this point who's going to be playing. I think Shane Carr is probably still starting, right? And yep, he got some time against Ohio State. And did Hunter Taylor split time with him? No. So Shane Carr's in cage. Definite edge here goes to Skylar Walland. He's been the better goalie regardless of who Michigan puts in here. But definite edge to Ohio State in terms of the goalkeeping. You would think edge to Ohio State defensively because of their personnel, but that just hasn't panned out that way because they've struggled. They struggled badly at the faceoff dot against Michigan last week, and that all of that simply just played into things snowballing from there. So faceoff dot edge, Nick Rowlett has been awesome. Wheatfield has been awesomer. I think Wheatfield is actually the highest rated FOGO in the country based on Lacrosse References numbers right now. So definite edge goes to Michigan on that front here. So in the end, prediction, I think that Michigan's probably going to win this game. I'm going to predict Michigan will win. I think it might even be a little bit closer than what we saw last weekend here, and they'll punch their ticket to go on and play Penn State, in my opinion. Either way, Penn State's liking their chances no matter who wins, but I think at this point, Penn State would probably rather play Ohio State based on how last weekend went. Next one we got to talk about here is Maryland and Rutgers. Maryland beat Rutgers on the road about 10 days ago, a 3-goal Terps win. I like the Terps to pull out a win in this one again. I'm going to go right out here and do my prediction at the front. I think the Terps are going to win this game. I think that in terms of who needs this game more, it's for sure Rutgers, because Rutgers right now is firmly on the bubble, and a loss is probably enough to result in them being one of the first two teams out of the tournament here. For Maryland, I think they're okay. Even if they lose this game, they probably still grab at least a 7th or 8th at-large bid that's up if they lose. If Rutgers wins, that could be enough to boost their resume and punch their ticket. As we're looking at the RPI right now, Rutgers' RPI is 13th. They have no top 5 wins, so this would give them a top 5 RPI win. They have no 6 through 10 wins, and they've beat Michigan, Utah, and Princeton in terms of 11 through 20, with their worst loss coming to Ohio State overall. So for Rutgers, I think if they win, they're probably going to punch a 7 or 8 seed for the NCAA tournament. If they lose, I think they're probably literally like the first team out potentially. And then in terms of what do I think is going to happen, like I said, I think Maryland's going to win. I think Rutgers outplayed Maryland, I think defensively, Rutgers has underplayed overall here in terms of like guys like Ross Scott, a guy who I thought would have been a lock to be a first team Big Ten player. He's actually on the Big Ten second team here. So offensively, I would have actually assumed Rutgers would have the edge here. But the way that Braden Irksa, Maltz, Kelly's, all those guys are getting it done right now, playing really good team lacrosse, I kind of give a slight edge to Maryland offensively at this stage. Defensively, again, slight edge. Not even a slight edge. I would have given a huge edge to Maryland, except they did play a pretty close game here last time. But the edge defensively goes to Maryland in terms of goalkeeping. The edge goes to Maryland. Kyle Mullen is capable of coming in and stopping 70% of the shots that he faces. But in his last meeting against Maryland here, he was good, 52%. But Rupel, young kid, sometimes they're so stupid, they don't even know to be nervous, and they end up kind of sometimes playing really well in situations like this. So I like Rupel and Cage a little bit better than I like Mullen, especially because Mullen's had the pleasure of being more experienced than Rupel through this season and is still sitting at 51%, 1% lower than what Rupel is. You could definitely say credit Maryland's defense.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Defense for helping out a little bit, but in the end, definite edge goes to Maryland defensively overall between their goalkeeper and their long poles. Faceoff dot, no brainer. Luke Weirman, second, I think he's ranked number two or three here behind Wheatfield for Michigan in terms of whatever that number that Lacrosse Reference runs here. So he's one of the best guys in the country. Now, hey, Dugenio, as I now have heard him called, I've been calling him Dugenio for like 2 or 3 years here. He's not bad. So he's capable of giving Weirman a little bit of trouble. If we look at what he did last week or 10 days ago when they played, 33%. So that's not very good. If Weirman does that again to Dugenio, it's going to be a long day for Rutgers. And I think Maryland might win this one by more than 3 goals. Simply because I think we're just looking at a different Maryland team at this point. And this team here is going to be just like Rutgers has to win to get in, and they're the injured dog. Maryland is the dog whose pride is injured badly. So I predict Maryland wins this one by, potentially 5 goals. But it could go into overtime and it could go either way because I'm a moron and I'm terrible at predictions. And then the winner of that game goes on to play Hopkins, and Hopkins has already beat them both. But at this point, legitimately, while I have made predictions, I think this Ivy League tournament could go to anyone. If by the end of next weekend, we're sitting here looking at Ohio State as the Big Ten tournament champion, I wouldn't be insanely surprised. I think the teams are pretty tightly packed together. I think Ohio State's chances are pretty slim of doing that, but I think it could legitimately go to any of the other teams in the tournament. I think Penn State, Hopkins for sure could win it. I think Maryland and Rutgers are right up there, and they could do it as well. And I think Michigan has themselves a shot also. So for the Ivy, for Princeton and Cornell, it's whoever wins this game gets the one seed, to the best of my knowledge. Cornell's played well all season. Princeton seems to be playing well now, winners of 4 of their last 5. Their only loss was to Syracuse at home. If Princeton loses this game, I believe they drop to the 3 seed as Penn defeated them by a goal in mid-March. So Princeton wins, they're the 1 seed. If Princeton loses and Penn, I think, is already done. If Princeton loses, I think Penn ends up getting the 2 seed and Princeton ends up sitting at the 3 seed. And then if Princeton loses this game, they would... Oh, yeah, I already said that. Duh. And let me just confirm that here. If we look at this, yeah, Penn is already done. Yeah, I believe that. I believe I'm right. But in this game, let's talk about their chances here. Offensively, it's kind of a wash. I would end up saying, you got CJ Kirst, maybe you get a slight edge, but man, Coulter Mackesy has had an incredible season. His numbers are not far off of CJ Kirst's overall. Kirst, I think, has a little bit more help. Billy Coyle has had an incredible season. Piatelli's great. Long has been unhealthy, but if we can get Long back and healthy, I think that maybe you end up giving Cornell a slight edge because of Kirst and the supporting cast. But man, to be sure, Coulter Mackesy is playing incredible lacrosse, one of the best attackmen in the country at this point, just a lefty sniper. And Alexander Vardaro is playing a little bit better. So I'm going to give a slight, just a sliver of an edge to Cornell on that front. I think on the goalie front, a slight edge would actually not go to the veteran in Chase Erland, who has been starting at Cornell since he was three. But I think Gian Furcaro for Princeton has the edge here. He's been incredible all season for the Tigers. So I think a slight edge goes to Princeton. And then defensively, both of these teams have done well defensively overall. I think both of them lack a little bit of depth defensively, and they've leaned on their goalies pretty heavily, and both goalies have come through. So I call it overall kind of a wash, because I like Adler for Cornell a little bit better than, you know, who Princeton has running around, but I think Princeton may have a little bit more depth overall in that spot. So I call the defensive one a wash. Credit to Princeton a little bit for Gian Furcaro, and then the Cornell defense a little bit for Adler. Not that Erland is a chump by any means with a 57% save percentage. He's actually outperformed what I thought he would do this year. He's been very good. And then in terms of the faceoff dot, Kaskaden apparently has been much better, and Petrakis has not been bad either. And Petrakis is the big veteran here. And for Princeton, Ginder and Sandoval have both been decent. So I think definite edge goes to Cornell here at the faceoff dot, at least a little bit. And then in the end, my prediction for this one comes down to, I think Cornell, I think the home team wins this one. I should probably get off my ass and maybe hit this game, depending on when Syracuse plays, because that'll be a hell of a game. Maybe. We'll see what happens on Saturday. But yep, I'm going to predict Cornell in a close game. They're going to take the one seed, and I think that drops Princeton to the third, and Penn would get the two in that case. For Harvard and Yale, it's just straight up a win and you're in for each of these teams. Yale is certainly the favorite, considering Harvard has lost their last two games to Penn and Princeton by a margin, but the wounded dog is dangerous here, and I think in this case, both of these guys are probably going to be dangerous. Now, Yale, I have seen scenarios where even if Yale loses and doesn't make the Ivy League tournament, they could still get in. Their RPI right now is sitting at eighth. Now, what is weird about this, though, is that they have no top five wins now, and they have no top 10 wins. What they have is wins over Denver, Villanova, and Boston U with no bad losses. So I'm surprised that Yale's RPI is this high, especially because they don't have any really crazy quality wins overall. But I mean, I have seen scenarios where Yale could still be like the last team in, even if they lose this game. Whereas for Harvard, zero chance. Harvard has to win the Ivy League tournament or they're fucked. Is pretty much how it goes, because like I said, if they lose, they're below 500. Even if they win this game but then lose in the finals, they're below 500. So they got to win or they're fucked. So in terms of what do I think is going to happen, I think Yale's going to win. I don't think Harvard is going to beat them. In terms of offensive prowess, yes, Sam King and company have been decent, and Sam King's been excellent. But Chris Lyons, Matt Brandau, yes, Lyons and Johnson are inexperienced players, but so is Sam King. I believe they were all freshmen last year. Matt Brandau, the KG veteran who's, I believe, was on their national championship team. I believe he was a freshman that year. I could be wrong, but I believe he was. So we've got a veteran-led group against a group that's not quite as veteran-led. Defensively, I think Yale's going to beat them up a little bit more in terms of Cage, Paquette, veterans, played in the NCAA tournament. Christian Bernard has not been all that good. He's been a little bit streaky, could put up a big game. And then the faceoff dot, actually, this is one of my clients here, Western Passion. Oddly enough, their ads are showing because I'm always on their site. Face-off, edge definitely goes to Nicholas Ramsey and Yale. And that's going to be, I think Yale's going to win this game, maybe 3-5 goals. Could come down to the wire, especially because Harvard needs to win to stay alive. But so does Yale to a degree. They don't want to lose this game and hope they still pull a 7 or 8, the 7th or 8th at-large bid. We dive into the Patriot League. Six teams get into the Patriot League tournament. There are games this weekend being played that would seem to be playing into the seeding. Army, right now, this should be a hell of a game. I believe the winner of this game picks up the Patriot League one seed. Let's see. Let's confirm it. Yes, yes. If Boston U is able to beat Army on the road here on Friday night, this is Friday at 8:15 nonetheless, then Boston U will end up being the one seed. So whoever wins this game gets the one seed, and I believe whoever loses this game gets the two seed. Let's just check that real quick. Boston U, did they beat Lehigh? Yes. So I believe Boston U would lock up the two seed with a loss in this case here. But it should be a hell of a game. In terms of offensive firepower, I give the edge here to Boston U because of Dalto, Perfetto, and Lay. on attack, but Reese Burick has done an incredible job leading this Army team. Army shoots well. They shoot well from distance even, so they're going to stretch a defense, and then that lets them kind of win one-on-one matchups once they get the defense extended. So I don't dislike Army's offense, but I do think that Boston U has a little bit more firepower and guys that have been contributing heavily offensively for years here. In terms of the goalies, definite edge to Army and Knox Dent, both for name and in terms of save percentage. And then if we dive down to the faceoff dot, Connor Calderon has been good. Will Colletti has been better. My prediction for this one, I believe that Army is going to win this game. I have a feeling Boston U, because at this point I would call it an upset just about if Boston U beat him. Because I think Army has just overperformed in every area, and they've been better, I think, overall than Boston U. The problem with Army is their schedule isn't all that tough. Boston U's a little bit more battle-tested at this stage than Army, but I'm going to pick Army to win at home, and in the end, it's going to be the difference between who gets the one and who gets the two seed overall. Army. What a game over, and actually beating Navy the way they did last weekend is part of the reason I'm going with this. If that Navy game had come down to overtime, I'd be like, maybe Boston U at this point could edge them out. But Boston U, every time I've picked them, they've kicked me in the balls. So I'm going to go with Army in this one. Bucknell and Navy, not a game I'd normally be talking about, at least not this year, but Navy's already locked up a spot, I believe. And I believe if they beat Bucknell, they lock up at least the 5 seed. If Navy wins and Loyola loses to Lehigh, I think Navy can sneak themselves into the 4 seed. If Navy wins and Lehigh loses to Loyola, that could see Navy maybe jump even as high as the 3rd seed, as long and that would, because it would put all the teams at 5-3, and then Navy beat both Loyola and Lehigh. So this is where things start getting hairy for me, and I'm not entirely sure. I think Navy's already in, and I think now they're fighting for somewhere between the 5 seed and the 3 seed, depending on how everything else shakes out.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
In terms of what I think is going to happen in this game, Navy is going to beat Lehigh. Navy is better offensively, although injuries have made them a little bit streaky. Navy's got a better goalkeeper in terms of Pat Ryan, so that's going to play for them as well. Navy is much better at the faceoff dot with Anthony Gobriel, winning 57% of his draws here. So Navy's going to beat Bucknell, and I think that puts them in the area of the 3 or 4 seed, depending on how things shake out. Then we end up having Loyola at Lehigh. And a bit more on these two teams, because I kind of touched on what was their deal quickly as I was rambling through Navy. Boston U already has a tiebreaker over Lehigh. So even if the Terriers lose and Lehigh wins, I believe the best Lehigh can do is the 3 seed for Loyola. If they can pull out a road win, they would then frog jump Lehigh into the 3 seed, so long as Navy loses. A Lehigh loss could see them drop from the 3 seed all the way down to 5, as they have the tiebreak over Navy. Or maybe Navy has the tiebreak over Lehigh. Let me look at that real quick to make sure I'm not just talking stupid. Yeah, Lehigh has the tiebreak over Navy. Yeah, so I don't know. I know that both of these teams, I think, are already in, but I think that there could be quite a swing depending on who wins and who loses here, because the Patriot League has been a mess all year long here outside of Boston U and Army hanging out at the top here. And then I believe Lafayette is in already, so I think they punched their ticket last week. I don't think they play again here, so I think that even if Bucknell picks up W and finishes 3-5 with Lafayette has already beat Bucknell, so I think Bucknell's out, Lafayette's already in. I think Lafayette, the best they can do, I believe, is that final spot. I think they're the 6th seed overall. All right, now we're going to get into the CAA, and the further I get into these weeds, the worse I'm going to do in terms of getting the seeding aspects right, but let's give it a try here at least. So Delaware, they've already clinched the 1 seed as far as I know. I'm almost positive of that. Drexel, Stony Brook, and Towson are all fighting it out for seeding, with Hofstra also in the hunt, depending on how things shake out. So Stony Brook at Hofstra. If Hofstra can take down Stony Brook, they'll both be at 4-3, and I believe Hofstra punches the ticket and grabs the 4 seed. Hofstra lost to Towson, but beat Drexel. So if shit goes sideways for Drexel against Monmouth, it won't. Hofstra could even jump up to three or so, maybe. The math is too hard for my brain, so I'm going to give up on that one. But if we look into what's going to happen here in this game, we have Hofstra offensively. I think definite edge goes to Stony Brook just because Dylan Palinetti is an animal. If we go through and we look at the goalie battle here, pretty much a wash between McLachlan and Gates. If we look at the faceoff dot, definite edge goes to Chase Patterson and Hofstra in this one. And then, like I said, offensively, I'm going with Stony Brook because of Palinetti. Defensively, I don't think either of these teams have been all that great defensively, and both have relied heavily on goalie play. So prediction, Stony Brook beats Hofstra. That's what I think is going to happen. And then that's going to just all hell will break loose in terms of the seeding from there. Delaware at Towson. I think Towson has the toughest road. I think they can grab the 4 seed despite losing, but I'm too lazy to really do the math to come and figure it out, because that depends on what everybody else does. If Towson wins, they could go as high as the 2 seed. I think if they lose, they could potentially get bumped, but still have a shot depending on how it shakes out everywhere else. I don't know. So for Towson and Delaware, which I was supposed to be looking at their screen here, you know, for Towson, they just want to beat Delaware, upset Delaware and get in and you're good to go. But that's probably not going to happen. Ty Kurtz, JP Ward, Mike Robinson are all killers. Towson does not have anybody that's going to be able to handle them. Kilkeary and Cage for Delaware has been more than serviceable in terms of the faceoff dot. You know, yes, Towson has a slight edge here, but not by much. I think Delaware is going to roll, and then Towson is going to have to sit here and kind of hope that they're able to, that Hofstra loses pretty much. But like I said, did Towson beat Hofstra? No, yeah, Towson beat Hofstra. So even if they lose and Hofstra wins, maybe Towson's good. Anyway, like I said, this is where we get into the weeds and shit gets crazy. Another one here, Drexel and Monmouth against Monmouth at Drexel. Easy for Drexel. Win and get the 2 seed, lose and drop as low as 4, I think is what it looked like. I think they're in either way, though, although once again, I could be wrong, but I don't think they're going to lose to Monmouth, and I think they're going to win. And actually, Drexel has been a pretty solid team here so far. Binghamton and Albany. This is the big game that's going down here in the America East this weekend, mostly because Vermont's already locked up the 1 seed. Even if they lose to UMBC this weekend, which they probably won't, they still hold that tiebreaker over Bryant. So Vermont's the 1 seed. I believe Bryant has locked up the 2 seed with their win over Binghamton last weekend. So now it comes down to Binghamton and Albany are both in the tournament, but the winner of this game will get the 3 seed. The loser gets the 4 seed. In terms of what I think is going to happen, I think if you're looking at offensively, definite edge goes to Binghamton. You normally wouldn't say that in a Binghamton-Albany meeting, but Binghamton has been very good offensively this year. Matthew Keegan and Thomas Greenblatt have done extremely well. Imagine if What's-His-Nuts didn't transfer to Penn State, how good Binghamton would be looking right now, maybe leading the America East here. Goalie battle. Definite edge goes to Connor Winters and Binghamton on that front. And then D'Souza here. D'Souza for Binghamton has been incredible at the faceoff dot for them. He's winning 63% of his draws, and this Chazanow is also getting in the mix, winning 49%. Not that Albany's been bad. You see both of their top guys here, well, mainly Endress, sitting at 51%. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to get waxed or anything like that. But my prediction, Binghamton handles shit at home, locks up the 3 seed, and then they end up getting to play Bryant instead of Vermont. But Binghamton fared well against them both. They lost 14-10 to Bryant, 11-9 against Vermont. So regardless, Binghamton is kind of liking their chances here overall. Hell of a season so far for the Bearcats. If we go down to the A-10, once again, I'm going to start screwing things up a little bit more here. I think this one's a little bit more simple, though. Three teams are in the hunt here. St. Joseph's, they've already locked up the 1 seed. Richmond, I think, has already locked up the 2 seed. And then we have High Point. Even if High Point loses this weekend, they have the tiebreaker over Hobart, assuming Hobart were to beat UMass. So I think that High Point's also in is at least the 3 seed. So what it comes down to, I believe, for this one is Hobart at UMass. And with the 3 other tournament slots notched, there's nothing but seeding left for High Point. But within this Hobart and UMass game, the winner, I think, is the one who punches the ticket to the tournament, and the loser is done for the season. Offensively, I probably give the edge slightly to Hobart in terms of offensive depth overall. So, the edge, it's just a sliver in terms of the faceoff battle. I'm giving the edge to the Drip King, the Riz King here, Caleb Hammett and UMass. defensively, kind of a wash where, you know, in terms of personnel, but where things really get crazy here, I think, is Matt Note in cage for UMass. Matt Note has been incredible for UMass all season. I think he's the X factor in this game with a little bit of the Drip King magic, maybe. And I think UMass, my prediction, UMass is going to win this game, punch their ticket into the A-10 tournament, and then go from there. And then, you know, you got all the other teams, High Point, all those guys are going to do battle. They all play this weekend, I believe, but who cares? They're already in and good to go. And then we dive into the A-Sun. I believe six teams get into this tournament. I think Utah's locked up the one seed. Air Force may have the two seed locked up already. Jacksonville, Air Force, and Bellarmine are in the hunt for seeds 3, 4, 5, and 6. And in the end, that one gets really ugly also. I'm going to just kind of look at it from Utah's page here. And I believe it's the top six teams get in. So, I mean, that means that the games down here, what Robert Morris, Mercer, and Cleveland State all do actually will factor in this one. So I didn't want to do the math or anything like that. These guys are all good to go, I believe. And then I think it's these three teams that are fighting for those last two spots. So that'll be interesting as well here. How long? I've only been talking for 33 minutes here so far. That's not too bad. But that's going to be it. I'm going to be back, like I said, on Monday. We're going to do Monday. That's not it. I wanted to talk about one more thing here. I wanted to talk about Terry Foy playing Rain Man for the weekend, and he put together here. I don't even care about the AQ assumptions and all that crap. I do care for Syracuse's outcome because I want everyone who's favored to win their conference tournament to win their conference tournament because, you know, this one doesn't matter because Syracuse probably loses to Denver or definitely loses to Georgetown and almost definitely would lose to Denver if either one of these are up for an at-large. But like one like St. Joe's, we start diving into teams like Vermont, Delaware, Cornell. You know, any one of these teams lose their conference tournament, that makes it tougher for the teams on the bubble to pick up the at-larges because you end up having a really good team that now just all of a sudden eats one of those at-larges you were expecting. But look at what Terry Foy did in terms of ranking these teams as of today in terms of their at-large resumes. Now, like I said, a lot of these teams are going to punch automatic bids via winning their conference. So as we go through here, I'm going to just keep a tally to see how many spots we really have available left by the time we give the at-larges to the teams that we think that are definitely going to get them. Notre Dame, like I said, we already talked about it. They could pick up the one seed right now if the season ended. They are the one seed. It's between them and Duke. So if Duke beats Syracuse and Notre Dame loses to Virginia, I think then that makes Duke the favorite to pick up the one seed. But what really hurts Duke, I think, over Notre Dame beyond having two losses to Notre Dame's one is Duke lost to Jacksonville. And I don't think that looks great for them. And Notre Dame doesn't have a bad loss like that. So that's where these two guys are hanging out here is at 1 and 2. This is where I said if Virginia could beat Notre Dame, that would give them three wins over top five teams. That would be better than both of these teams have. So that's where I'm saying if Virginia beats Notre Dame here this weekend, they could end up kind of frog jumping everybody and maybe getting the one seed. What hurts them is that Duke beat them twice. You know what I mean? So that's where if Duke beats Syracuse and their season's over, Virginia beats Notre Dame, you still have Duke winner of over Virginia twice, but that would give Virginia three top five wins with no bad losses and Duke's bad loss to Jacksonville. So that's how that could play out. Penn State and Hopkins out of the Big Ten are sitting at 4 and 5. Actually, we have three ACC teams sitting as the top three in Notre Dame, Duke, and Virginia. And then the next three teams are Penn State at 4, Johns Hopkins at 5, and Maryland at 6. And to be sure, Maryland's RPI is actually 1-7 versus Cornell's at 6th. But Cornell has that bad loss to Harvard with no top five wins, whereas Maryland has two top five wins. And once again, it's weird to me because you have Maryland with two top five wins, yet Johns Hopkins RPI is better. But yeah, these teams are all locks for the tournament, whether they win their conference tournaments or not. That would include Cornell. Even if Cornell lost their conference tournament, I think they are definitely a lock for an at-large bid. And their RPI is sitting at 6th. And this is where people have been chirping about Penn and Yale and their ranking all season long. But when you look at their resumes, neither has a top five win, but both have or actually this, the Yale one is the one that gets me. I already kind of talked about that earlier, that I was surprised Yale's RPI is as high as it is, considering they don't have a top five win or a win in the area of 6 through 10, whereas Penn has two of them. So Penn, I think, is probably good to go, and they're going to be able to, you know, pick up another quality win in the Ivy tournament. If they win in the Ivy semis, Penn is now guaranteed. If they lose in the Ivy semis, I still think Penn grabs one of those at-large bids. Overall, Yale, I think if they lose to Harvard, now they're on the bubble. But as I said, there's a world in which Yale, even losing to Harvard this weekend, could potentially be the first team in. If they lose to Harvard this weekend, they could be one of the first teams out. You're looking at a team like Georgetown. I do think they'll probably win the Big East tournament. If they were to lose, who's Georgetown play this weekend here? Let's go to check that out. Georgetown, we're just going to go to Division I polls. And then we're going to hit up Georgetown. All right, yeah, Georgetown has Villanova this weekend. If Georgetown wins this weekend against Villanova, and even if they lose in the first round of the Big East tournament, I think Georgetown would get themselves in. I think that if they lose to Villanova this weekend but then win a game in the Big East tournament, they probably get in even if they don't win it. But the way Georgetown's been playing, I like Georgetown's chances of both winning this weekend against Villanova, and I like their chances of winning the Big East tournament overall. Denver's a tough one. They have Marquette this weekend. If Denver loses to Marquette, that probably is enough to put them as one of the last teams out. And as I'm sitting here thinking about this, did I not talk about the Big East here? I didn't talk about the Big East at all. So let's not be a-holes and let us talk about the Big East. I believe only four teams get into the Big East tournament here. And Denver, these three teams are all in no matter what happens. But like I said, a loss to Marquette by Denver here, that gets Marquette into the tournament, into the Big East tournament, and then we go from there. So if they lose to Marquette and then lose in the first round of the Big East tournament, Denver is probably sunk. And, you know, is Villanova's resume? Let's see what Terry Foy has Villanova at here. Yeah, so where you see their RPIs here, both of these teams need to win. If Denver can pick up a win this weekend and if Villanova can pick up a win this weekend, Villanova plays, I hate that pop-up, Villanova plays Georgetown. That's going to be tough. So, yeah, I don't know. Big East is going to be a mess, but like I said, in the end, I think it comes down to Georgetown's the favorite, and then Villanova and Denver are just fighting for at-large bids, and they are firmly on the bubble, but they're in a much better position than teams like Syracuse and North Carolina and some of those teams behind them are, as we see here. And then we have Rutgers. Like we said, if Rutgers could beat Maryland, that's going to bump their RPI pretty heavily. It will actually shift some things for other teams, too, because it could bump Maryland out of the top five in terms of RPI. So, boom. Rutgers, you got to get a win. That makes your resume look a little bit better, and then that puts you kind of a little bit more where Denver and Villanova are, and now you've got a legitimate shot at an at-large. I think a Rutgers loss, they may end up being the first team out. A Rutgers win, even if they lose in the next round of the tournament, I think they're still right there on the bubble and have a legitimate shot. Carolina and Syracuse, I already talked heavily about what their scenarios are. Both have to win to even have a shot, but even if they win and give themselves that shot, they're going to have to rely on two things. One, every tournament favorite, every team that has the higher RPI wins their tournament. That will be required for both of them, I think, to get in. And then they'll have to have a couple of other teams lose to you know, like they're going to want to see Rutgers lose. They're going to need maybe definitely Villanova to lose. They're going to want Marquette to beat Denver. So a lot of things I think will have to happen to end up getting Syracuse and Carolina in. I think Princeton has to win the Ivy League tournament to be able to get in. I think the same thing goes for Michigan. They have to win the Big Ten tournament to get in. And then even Army, we're looking at a team, Army right now is looking at the one seed in the Patriot League tournament, and even their resume is not very good because their schedule is sucked. They've got an outside the top 20 loss to UMass and only one top 20 win against Rutgers. They played a shitty schedule. And boom, they're a team that, you know, right now is the favorite, but could end up the favorite in the Patriot, but could end up, if they don't win that tournament, not even getting an at-large bid. That's a real possibility there. And then teams like Vermont and Boston U just have to straight up win their conference tournaments to have any hope. So that's it. I'm going to shut the hell up here. We're going to put this show out. Come back on Monday. It will be Monday that I will be Popping up the weekend recap show, because obviously I want to make sure to get the all of the games from this weekend that are all playing into conference tournaments and crap like that out. So that's it. Come back Monday. As always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Share the crap out of the show with your homies. And Hoost is out. The Lax Factor Podcast.